Ladies and gentlemen, Texans and Tejanos, you are tuned to the show that talks the talk and walks the walk. It's Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your host, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a liberal corporate management muzzle or leash, or a donor leash either, my friends. Our Lone Star story of the day, several big Texas public universities are willfully breaking the law, helping illegal aliens with discounted in-state tuition while charging legal Americans the super high out-of-state tuition. It's a subject I've discussed for over a decade. It is immoral. It is wrong. Nobody seems to care. But fortunately, now the Texas Public Policy Foundation is writing about it because, well, University of North Texas once again finds itself in court and is trying to explain away breaking the law. Our Lone Star story of the day is sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing turnkey drug and alcohol testing programs for business and institutions and truckers and fleet owners. They're your best friend in dealing with the DOT, from sample collections to third-party administrating your stuff, including that list, what do they call it, a clearinghouse now you have to have all your drivers in. Get with them at AlliedCompliance.com. We've got a big Uvalde school update, the shooting update, a piece broken yesterday, I believe, in the Express News. Just didn't have time to get to it. By the way, I've got like 10 stories I wanted to get to yesterday, and I'm not going to be able to get to them today either. Darn it. Uvalde school police chief had a pretty bad employment history right there in the region, but it's doubtful school officials did much checking. Oh, Robert, you can't say that. You know, the school people, they're just all in it for the children. You're never supposed to criticize. Folks, you just can't imagine. When you question the stuff about schools and school leadership and people, the kind of nasty emails you get from people, it's cult-like. I mean, no rational listening to what was said or to the issue. It's just you can't criticize schools. Yeah, okay, fine. Maybe we shouldn't tell you that they hired a guy that had a really bad spotted history and hired him as police chief and apparently announced it before they even bothered to even ask anybody what his history had been. Anyway, we'll get to that. We've got a ton of border-related news. A really good bill that has been around for a while, kind of reworked, the Asylum Accountability Act Senator Cruz is getting behind. Texas now busing voluntarily, of course, illegal aliens to New York City as well as Washington, D.C. And there's a story out of Friona in the Panhandle showing how the people smuggling crime reaches hundreds of miles from the border and much, much more. And I'm just loaded up today, so be prepared to listen fast on a Friday, my friends. Listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. You can get a podcast of today's show. That's just a recording of the show. And long-form interviews at PrattOnTexas.com. You can search for Pratt on Texas on almost every major podcast platform there is. The Apple, the Amazon, you name it, Google, we're there. And you can listen to the show anytime. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. Don't forget, go to LubbockSportsman.com. Get your tickets for the big Sportsman's Club, Dallas Safari Club chapter. What do we call it? The annual Hunter's Banquet and Auction coming up on August 27th in Lubbock. The rotary rig count is out from Baker Hughes. The U.S. rig count went down by 3. The Texas rig count went up by 2 to 373. And on that note, a perfect example of either ignorance by people who appear very smart and can write very well, or stupidity, or they're not very smart, or probably intentional misleading. Big piece by Amanda Drain at the Houston Chronicle today. Why are gas prices falling? Don't thank Biden. Oh, you say, oh, that's right. Don't thank Biden. Well, that's right. But listen to this. And in her first 4 or 5 sentences, she contradicts herself and doesn't even know it. And it's what I've read in lots of places. Now, here's how it begins. We can't thank Joe Biden for falling gasoline prices, just like we couldn't blame him when prices shot up earlier this year. Really? She goes on, politicians can wield some influence over market trends, but oil and gasoline are commodities dictated by global supply and demand. Well, that's absolutely right. And it's true that politicians often take credit and get blamed for, you know, everyday fluctuations in the market. But when we're looking at major, major, incredible swings that are lasting, that's ridiculous to not give it put it on the shoulders of policy. And here's where she, listen to this next part. Oil and gasoline's key ingredient fell below $90 a barrel Thursday for the first time since February when Russia invaded Ukraine and sparked a global energy crunch. Traders are nervously, listen to this, traders are nervously unloading more supplies. Signs of a recession persist. Now, do you catch it? I mean, most of you are really sharp. You catch the utter contradiction? Well, you can't blame the politicians on these things. I mean, these are commodities. Yes, traded by traders. And what do futures traders work against? Policy. The whole idea of going into a recession, this is all Biden and Democrat economic policy. Pushed inflation up, moving us to full out to a deep recession because you have recession with inflation. Yeah, she, in the first five sentences, she contradicts and says, well, you can't really blame the politicians, but it's futures traders. It's traders. What do you think traders trade on, Amanda Drain? They trade on what's going on out there. And they're you even right, they're unloading more supplies. Signs of a recession persist. In other words, the policy coming out of the White House certainly does affect commodity prices. Ask any farmer when Jimmy Carter put thousands of farmers out of business by crashing the wheat market. The last time we had a president this utterly incompetent. Katie Hall in the Austin American Statesman reports a Travis County Court at Law Number 3 judge, John Lipscomb, they never say it in the column, he's a Democrat, they're all Democrats in Travis County, was charged with DWI back in May. He has pleaded guilty to DWI. He hasn't been on the bench since that arrest and is not seeking re-election. Former Richardson mayor, a story we have covered since the beginning, former Richardson mayor and husband sentenced in federal conspiracy bribery case. Of course, I told you when they were found guilty. Remember, she was the mayor and she met this developer, and I think they got married during all this time, and they were involved in the corruption there. Laura Jordan, Machka, and Mark Jordan, and now they've been sentenced to 72 months in the federal pen. Paleontologists discover fossils of 30-foot prehistoric marine lizard in North Texas. Working for the Perot Museum of Nature and Science in Dallas, unearthed fossils of a mosasaur, 30-foot marine lizard. And these things are huge when most of North Texas was under the sea. You climate alarmists, this stuff's been going on forever without man. Anyway, they've uncovered lots of it. It's a really good story in the Houston Chronicle. I'm sure there's other. Found it in the North Sulphur River in North Texas, which is full of fossils. Midland Mayor Patrick Payton not going to seek re-election to a second term. I'm sad to hear that. He is a fantastic man and did a fantastic job during all this COVID stuff, better than almost anyone else in Western Texas. And, of course, he's a Proud on Texas listener and used to call in once in a while when we took the live calls. Sad to see Patrick Payton not seeking re-election in Midland. Littlefield ISD, congratulations to the folks in Littlefield ISD. They're going to arm their staff and faculty at the school through the Guardian plan. Glad to see that story out there. All right, my friends, I've got so much more. By the way, I think the new edition of the Buffalo Gap Roundup News is out. I've got a big column in there this month, as usual. Always a lot of good stuff. They get letters from everywhere. Here was a new one from a couple in Midway, Georgia, saying they wanted to thank them for the newspaper, which brings comfort down home, good sense and humor to their home for several years. And they love the contributors. They get all these letters from all over the country, the little Buffalo Gap Roundup News, and it is fun. It's certainly different than the rest of the media, my friends. All right. We've got a ton of stories to get to ahead. Sit back and relax. Prepare to listen fast on this Friday on Pride on Texas.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Join us for the 2022 Hunter's Banquet and Auction on Saturday, August 27th at the Lubbock Memorial Civic Center, sponsored by People's Bank. The Hunter's Banquet and Auction features good times, great food, premium live auction, silent auction, and so many chances to win everything from fine art and luxurious vacation trips to guns, knives, more guns, fishing trips, and hunts nearby and around the world. And did I mention guns? Hunter's Banquet and Auction is Saturday, August 27th. Tickets now on sale at LubbockSportsman.com. LubbockSportsman.com. True Texans, I'll see you there.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially, even worse with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Now a man once declared a registered dead conservative by Rush Limbaugh. Here's your host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. There's a lot of policy-related news I should bring you, but I just don't have time, and it's not that pressing. There's a story that I've had in the stack. I don't know. I know I've had the audio marked up and ready to use since yesterday's show and didn't get to it, and I think I had the story the day before that. It's all over the national conservative press. Beto O'Rourke goes full Terry McAuliffe and demolishes his own campaign. No, that's at Red State. But there's this thing going around out there that I know the Texas Scorecard mentioned it yesterday in their newsletter. I don't actually think he says, I think he means what he says in this clip that's going around. It's one of these little out of context right there clips, and I think it's in context, but he doesn't actually say what everybody says. And that's why I was a little off on it, but now it's everywhere. Says he said in part, we don't need parents telling schools they can't teach critical race theory in the classroom. I think he is saying this, but the problem you've got is that's not exactly what he said. What he says was, as I hear it, a couple of translations change a word or two. I got 22 seconds of audio. I'll play it for you. But I hear him say, we don't need to scare the parents of those kids before her about CRT. They've never heard of before last year. Some said that he said CRT. I've never heard of before last year. So we don't need to scare the parents. Now, everybody's taken this and said that, and his campaign said, Beto doesn't say parents shouldn't tell schools what to teach, but that's a problem. And I do agree with Jeff Charles. At Red State, he says, yeah, nice try there, Skippy. If Beto wasn't talking about parents, who was he talking about? Who were the ones showing up to school board meetings to protest against progressive ideas, you know, leftist ideas on race being presented in classrooms? What groups are pushing back against these teachings? Do the names Moms for Liberty and Moms for America sound like anything but parents? And that's true. They've tried to back away, and he did say it. Here's the clip.
What if we treated that teacher with the respect that she has earned, that she is owed, that we all want to give her? We don't need to tell her what version of history she is allowed to teach in a classroom. We don't need to scare the parents of those kids before her about something called CRT that I've never heard of before last year.
I think the context is clear, but he doesn't verbatim say what a lot of pieces actually said that he did. I mean, in the actual words that they sort of put in their headlines and stuff, but it just shows you, but we know, and the people who don't seem to know all this don't seem to care. They're just going to vote for the leftist no matter what. Now, I want to move to my Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by our friends at Allied Compliance Services. Folks, I've talked about this for a very long time, sitting out here lonely talking about it. Several big taxpayer-owned universities, that's right, you own them, are willfully breaking the law by giving illegal immigrants, the illegal aliens, the big discount for in-state tuition while charging tax-paying legal Americans out-of-state tuition, which is much, much higher. I've discussed this immoral behavior. It gave you examples of people whose families had to transfer out of state for this or that, but owned property and businesses in Texas, were paying property taxes and all the other Texas taxes at a big level, and their children could not attend their university that they wanted to go to because the out-of-state tuition rates were so high. Even though they're just out of the state for a little while, whatever, but still own property and everything else in Texas. But I told you, but the universities, by the way, with Abbott and everybody else's approval, giving, Rick Perry was for it, everybody, giving illegal aliens these rates. Well, Mark Soros and Chance Weldon at the Texas Public Policy Foundation finally get on this, and I think it's because, once again, as I've told you, University of North Texas has been in court over and over because some conservative activists have gone to work on this place of rot, and it Denton has become a center of leftist rot, folks. They point out federal law stipulates that universities cannot charge illegal immigrants a lower in-state tuition rate while charging American citizens from other states higher out-of-state rate. That's federal law. But we've been doing it in Texas for a long time, and a bunch of people stood up for it. The University of North Texas rakes in $5.7 million per year by violating that law, charging its out-of-state students 9 times more than in-state tuition rate offered to foreign nationals illegally residing here. Though that $5.7 million is less than 0.7% of its massive yearly revenue, UNT claims it's simply too broke to comply with federal law. Before the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, UNT argued that charging lawful tuition rates would harm its bottom line, forcing the university to, quote, make downward budgetary adjustments, end quote, that would decrease its educational and operational efficacy. They write, first and foremost, I make money violating the law isn't a reason anyone should be allowed to continue violating the law. And that's why I tell you, it's these institutions, it's just immoral. It's all about money. It's not just the athletics. Everything about it is about money. They willfully break the law, knowingly break the law. They don't care about you. Oh, but they give you the little videos and the heartstring tugs and want your donations. This is huge business. Even the taxpayer-owned ones, huge business. Look at the salaries of the top people. And they write, second, less than 0.1% of UNT's yearly revenue is an infinitesimally small price to pay for justice. Finally, that tiny fraction of UNT's income reflects a huge financial burden on the out-of-state students affected by UNT's illegal tuition scheme. These students came to Texas to learn, mature, and maybe even settle down here, and they've been met with the furthest thing from Texan hospitality. That's right. And by the way, all you economic development lovers, think what you're doing to these people. Mm-hmm. Instead of being able to recruit the best and brightest here that'll stay and make Texas good, I know you'd rather hand out money directly to companies because those guys can then let you play golf on their country club memberships. All right. Furthest thing from Texan hospitality, a system that asks them to pay 9 times the lawful tuition rate so that UNT isn't inconvenienced by rebudgeting. Folks, the problem isn't limited to UNT. An amicus brief filed by several educational and political advocacy groups noted that 5 other large public Texas universities also charge illegally high tuition to out-of-state students, and that forcing these schools to abide by federal law would create financial losses. The brief claims the University of Texas at Austin stands to lose the most of any university, just over $30 million, which, of course, is less than 0.1% of their endowment of $31.9 billion. It's $4 million less than they pay their head football coach. But the amounts don't really matter. If every single cent in the budgets of every Texas college came from illegal tuition schemes, then every one of those schools deserves to lose every last cent, they write. Selective enforcement of the law is tyranny, and selective enforcement, yeah, especially by government agencies. And selective enforcement based on revenue size is even more pernicious. If equality before the law means anything, it means you can't buy your way around the rules that govern everyone else. It means that universities with millions or billions of dollars in the bank can't circumvent federal law at the expense of their students. There may be profits to be made from illegal behavior, but those profits aren't a reason to give big universities a pass. I have been telling you for 2 decades or a decade and a half at least that this is going on, and nobody wants to hear it. First Perry And I like Governor Perry a lot, but they all wanted this. Oh, yeah, we ought to have all the illegal aliens in our public schools. And Republicans voted for this, giving them in-state tuition, even if they reside here illegally in our universities. Oh, it's the right thing to do. No, it's not the right thing to do. And that has nothing to do with bigotry or xenophobia. It has to do with the fact that you have taxpayers all across this country who even pay Texas taxes that can't get that right. It's immoral. It's wrong. It's unjust in every way. But more importantly, something they never talk much about. You sure hadn't had heard Abbott mention this. By the way, UNT is in court again because they have all kinds of troubles, and Abbott's done nothing to turn over the Board of Regents there. They're breaking federal law. They are openly breaking the law and arguing before the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals that it's okay for them to break the law because they wouldn't make as much money if they didn't break the law. Welcome, Texas Public Policy Foundation. Let's stay on this subject.
Stay in the saddle. Pratt on Texas will be right back.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com. I've told you about my wonderful experience with Dr. Sylvia Zuniga in dental care in Costa Rica. Not only was it among the most positive experiences and best dental work I've experienced, my trip to Costa Rica, one of the hottest tourist destinations on the planet, included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and even a private driver, and the entire bill, total spending, was less than half of the best quote I got at home, a quote that was for much less dental work than I obtained from Dr. Zuniga. A couple from Lubbock now knows what I mean. They wrote to say, "We used your suggestion to go to Sylvia in Costa Rica. She was wonderful. Instead of $7,400, I spent $1,640, and not only for my dental work, but for my husband's too. It was a refreshing adventure, and she guided us in things to do. Thank you for letting listeners know." If you have big dental needs and challenges, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, PrattOnTexas.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, lovers of Texas and of liberty, it's time for the show that celebrates the spirit of Alamo. Here's your Texan in chief. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Again, you got to listen fast on this Friday, the 5th of August. We're loaded up. I've got a big Uvalde shooting update here in a moment. Today in Texas history, the 5th of August in 1840 near Hallettsville, a large band of Comanches began killing and looting across central Texas. Texas Rangers and a volunteer army defeated the Comanches on August 11th at Plum Creek near Lockhart. Comanche attacks were in retaliation for the Council House fight on March 19, 1840. And of course, this is during the Republic of Texas. In 1883, Sam Parr arrived at Point Bolivar and claimed a league of land. He was the first permanent settler in the area. And my friends, on this day in 1940, Frederick Albert Cook, he was a big fraud, a physician, polar explorer, and infamous oil promoter, died in New Rochelle, New York. He was a New York native. He was a surgeon on Robert Peary's Arctic expedition in 1891 and 92, and the Belgian Antarctic expedition in 1897 and 99. Led expeditions to Mount McKinley in the early 1900s. It's claimed the first ascent of Mount McKinley was challenged as fraudulent. He later falsely claimed to have beaten Peary to the North Pole by a year. University of Copenhagen found his evidence did not substantiate his claims. In 1918, he went to work as a geologist in the Texas oil fields. Yeah, a new place where fraud was rampant. But in 22, he organized the Petroleum Producers Association at Fort Worth. But after investigating widespread charges of fraud committed by the PPA, a Fort Worth grand jury indicted 400 people, including Cook, who was convicted, sentenced to 14 years and 9 months in prison, and assessed a fine of $12,000. He was paroled from Leavenworth in 1930 and pardoned by left-wing Democrat President Roosevelt in 1940. No doubt they had connections back in New York. Our look at Texas history sponsored by USA Investigations, providing employee background checks. Hey, maybe the Uvalde School District could do that. Hire USA Investigations for that. Surveillance, witness interviews, statements, criminal and civil investigations, they do a lot, security, much more. Employee background checks, learn about the team and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. The big story, updated this morning at the Express News, I think broken yesterday afternoon or evening. Didn't have time for it yesterday, and I prefer for these to get a little more data in them. School Police Chief Pete Arredondo demoted years before shooting. Well, it's not just that. Pete Arredondo, that absolutely awful do-nothing, sit there and not follow any of his own plan that he wrote and signed off on the school shootings. This guy had a terrible employment history. Part of the story said he worked at Webb County as deputy sheriff. Sheriff Martin Cuellar said he demoted Arredondo from an assistant chief to a commander in October 2014 because, quote, he couldn't get along with people. Basically, that's what happened. He was difficult to get along with his coworkers, especially upper staff. Basic thing I want to say is he just didn't fit the qualifications or the work I set out for him, end quote. Before coming to Webb County, Arredondo would serve 16 years in the Uvalde Police Department. So people are going to say, well, we knew him. He was hometown guy. Well, Cuellar, Sheriff Cuellar said even Uvalde PD, when he was over there, they disliked the bleep out of him. They were hoping he'd go get a job in Laredo. You know, the typical pass the trash. That's what bureaucracies do. Sometimes they'll even lie, give people good recommendations so they'll get a promotion and go somewhere else. I can't tell you how many times politically that's been done to get troublemakers out of town, to give them a job in Washington or Austin. They think it's a big deal. All it was powerful people getting rid of them. That's just how it works. And then how about this? And there's more. They go into the detail in his other, because he had other problems. Records show Uvalde Consolidated ISD might not have fully reviewed his employment history when it hired him as police chief in 2020. On February 13, 2020, the school district announced via Facebook that it was, quote, proud to introduce our district chief of police, Pedro Pete Arredondo, end quote. A native of Uvalde was focused on providing safety for all students, staff, and our community. That was 13 February. Problem was, it wasn't until 6 days later that a human resources coordinator at Uvalde ISD emailed his previous employer, which he'd been working for just a little while over at the big school district in Laredo, which is named United ISD, wanting a copy of his service record. They had already announced him before they even checked with his most recent previous employer. They obviously didn't check with the Webb County Sheriff because he said they never asked him about the guy's job. And if they had called, he would have not recommended him for the job. Said, I don't think I would based on performance. If Uvalde had asked the proper questions, especially in the chief position, the high-ranking position, I would have said, I don't think Arredondo was capable of running even a small department, but they never ask. And it goes on. And he did list United ISD in Laredo as a reference, but note, they didn't check it until 6 days until after they had announced him a chief, so the decision's been made. And it's just more of what you learn. And people who have sense understand that even if you like the local superintendent and the people at the office and the principals and you like and go to church with the school board members, you're an utter fool if you don't remember these people have a responsibility to you and everybody else to be truthful and to be professional. And to buy this idea that we're not supposed to ask hard questions, we're not supposed to oppose them, we're not supposed to call it out when incompetence is there, you're just a collaborator with immorality and bad government when you do that. And yet that's always the case. It's always the case. Don't rock the boat. Oh, we don't want bad. It's bad for our community. We don't want it out, you know, and I just never have understood it. I just don't come from that kind of attitude. I mean, the entire concept of a republic where the citizens remain sovereign is that all the government employees work for us. They're not some kind of figureheads or some kind of aristocracy above us. And yet that's how people work. It's even how school board members work. Once they get elected, a lot of city councilmen do the same. They get elected and all of a sudden the city manager, the high paid superintendent, with doctor by his name, most cases not even a doctor, it's these education doctorates, which aren't anyway. It's like all of a sudden they're subservient. And then when you ask hard questions and you point out wastefulness, you point out all kinds of leftist stuff going on that often they're not even aware of because they don't ask hard questions. In fact, you get elected to school board in your local town, you start asking the hard questions, they all gang up on you. Ask city councilmen. in Abilene who got elected and simply went to meetings and asked, prepared and asked hard questions. The entire city gathers together, the downtown cheerleader crowd, and does everything they can to push these people out and get rid of them. And yet, that's supposed to be the job of being on a school board or something. You create a new police department in a school district, in a town of 15,000. You hire a police chief. Did no board members or anybody read their packet and in the work sessions ask the questions about his previous employment? Nah, he's a local guy. We all know him. So like this principal, if you read her background, she doesn't seem to have any extra qualification to be principal, but that's okay. Maybe she's okay, except we know that they have all these written policies. She didn't carry them out. They were propping doors open. They weren't locking lots of classroom doors. They didn't make any kind of system for substitutes to have a key, so they'd just leave them unlocked. They'd tell people all this other stuff. Oh, we're persecuting her. Wait a minute, I thought everything was about those children and that teacher losing their life. I thought that was everything. That's the most, but you can't say bad things. Remember up front, the politicians, that state senator, you can't say bad things about our people, about our police chief and our school. You can't do it. That mayor even blowing up on it. This is not America, and you're not fit to live in a republic where the citizen is sovereign and simply loans power temporarily to be exercised on your behalf to elected representatives. You're not competent to be in a republic if you have this sweeping under the rug, nobody criticizes, nobody asks the hard questions. Oh, and of course, even worse, that I think is very prevalent, but most of us can agree is even much worse, and that is because I'm making money off city government or this, that, or the other. It's my social group, we're making money, so don't say anything, even if we know it's bad. But a lot of that sure goes on, doesn't it? Back in a moment.
It's time for Pratt to breathe. Pratt on Texas returns in a moment.
Attention, big country property owners. Wildfires are no laughing matter. Have you done all you can to protect your property? Winters Dozer Service is ready to go to work building proper fire breaks to protect your big country property. Some counties may have state assistance available, so get with Winters Dozer Service today. Don't wait until it's too late and see your property up in smoke. Get in touch now by visiting wintersdozerservice.com. That's wintersdozerservice.com.
At Thacker Jewelry, we believe in hometown service. When you walk through our doors, we want you to feel welcome and at home. An incredible story lives inside each and every piece of jewelry at Thacker's. As a West Texas jeweler, we want to help you express your love and your feeling for your family, for your loved ones, and for the generations to come.
Hello, what do you say? It's a Thacker Jewelry kind of day.
Hey now, I'm Robert Campbell. My wife and I own Campbell Containers, and we've been in business over 14 years. We sell and rent shipping containers here in Abilene and the big country. We sell used and new 20 and 40 foot containers. We also rent containers if you need a little extra storage space for the short term. Stop by our yard on I-20 just east of Abilene at exit 297. Each one for sale will have a little orange price tag on the door. Or check us out at CampbellContainers.com.
Joining the late William F. Buckley, standing athwart history and yelling, "Stop!" It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. A lot of border news. Senator Cruz, in conjunction with Senators Tom Tillis of North Carolina and Kevin Cramer of North Dakota, I think Cramer's been behind this thing for a long time, for several years. Bill Hagerty of Tennessee and Cindy Hyde Smith of, Missouri, have introduced, or really reintroduced, the Asylum Accountability Act. It imposes significant increase in the penalty for illegal aliens who fail to appear in immigration court by permanently barring them from gaining any future benefit under the Immigration and Nationality Act. This should have been enacted years ago, but of course the Democrats are completely against such. Completely against such. Cruz's staff writes, the unsustainable increase in illegal entries at our southern border are due in part to the misconception by illegal immigrants they'll be able to submit a fraudulent asylum application to get a court date, dodge their scheduled court date, and then continue to reside in the U.S. free of consequences. And that's exactly what's happening. And the Biden administration and the Obama, they're facilitating this. Senator Cruz said, too many asylum claims are illegal aliens trying to flaunt our laws and ignore immigration court requirements. We need to crack down on people who are abusing our generous asylum system and send the message that America's a country of laws, and if you don't want to obey them, you can't stay here. Well, Senator Cruz, that's why you're not going to get passed with Democrats in charge in Congress, because they don't believe in that. He said, this is fair and just, supporting those who actually need asylum while ensuring America's generosity is not abused. It's long overdue. I'm proud to support these reforms to permanently ban anyone who ignores our immigration courts. Most all these people that are just released into the country and bussed at our taxpayer expense or flown, mostly flown now, to cities all across the country at their choice, these people are simply given a little court date. And sometimes you think, well, it'd be in El Paso or it'd be in Laredo. No, no, no. It might just randomly be in Albany, New York, or San Francisco, California, or somewhere like that. They just spread out. They just, some future court, and of course they don't, it's, I don't know, over 90% they don't show up, and they just live here, and that's it. And that's a real problem. And I'm, you know, and it's funny how these mayors are so, don't want to recognize the problem, and the drug trade and cartels are operating in every part of America, and that's a huge part of this smuggling stuff. We know that. But, you know, it shocks me when you get people that actually think that, well, the only people around here being affected by this are the border towns, and yet your school district is full of people who are here illegally, and you're paying, and their school taxes are outrageous, and you're paying, and all the urban areas short of classroom space, and so you're paying massively for these folks. This stuff's everywhere. A big piece by Bob Price at Breitbart, Texas Today. It's all from information from the U.S. Attorney's Office in Freona, in the Panhandle, the Freona Chiefs. A woman in Freona faces federal charges for a role in a human smuggling stash house that held 17 migrants hostage. The illegal aliens were forced to remain in the Freona home till their debts to human smugglers were paid in full. They arrested 30-year-old Manuela Magdalena Jimon Castro on July 29th. So last week, I guess, after executing a search warrant that uncovered 17 of them being held hostage, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. Criminal complaint filed by a special agent with the FBI alleges Castro and her husband operated a cartel-connected human smuggling stash house in the small Texas Panhandle town, and they say more than 400 miles from the border. It's not more than 400 miles from the border. Hell, it's even if you go further than the border, if you go to El Paso, it's only about 350 miles. But anyway, about 300 miles from the border, 350. There was a tip from a relative of one of these illegal aliens from Thousand Oaks, California. A woman told police her sister was being held for ransom in Texas, so they started investigating. They got a cell phone ping that tagged the location as a house in Freona. Thousand Oaks police contacted the FBI with the information. The FBI and DPS responded and began surveillance. When a gold-colored vehicle was observed leaving the residence, Freona police officers conducted a traffic stop and detained two people in the vehicle. Police identified one of the women as Castro, the second as an illegal alien who provided a statement to police. The migrant told police Castro and her husband were holding migrants in the home. She added the husband was out of town picking up another load of illegal aliens. And it goes on, a lot of detail. Out of Presidio, KOSA reporting, Border Patrol officers at Presidio Port apprehended a man with outstanding warrant for homicide. 19-year-old male U.S. citizen came back in from Mexico via a vehicle, and they found out he had a warrant for homicide out of Oklahoma. Biden administration nears 250,000, so a quarter of a million unaccompanied migrant children, child apprehensions, just this fiscal year that began in October. That's right, an exclusive from Randy Clark at Breitbart. Quarter of a million just this fiscal year, which goes October 1 to September 31 for the feds. First bus of migrants sent from Governor Abbott in Texas arrives in New York City. New York Post reporting on this. And just days after New York City Mayor Eric Adams turned down Governor Abbott's invitation to visit the southern border, Texas governor sent a taste of the ongoing migrant surge to New York City's doorstep with the first busload of border crossers arriving in Manhattan this morning. They arrived at gate 14 of the Port Authority bus terminal. Of course, these are the volunteers. We're paying for it instead of these groups the government gives money to. It's the same thing that's been going on, but this puts a spotlight on it. And that's the only value of Abbott's program on this, and it may have some value. It certainly already embarrassed the D.C. mayor. Now it's embarrassing the New York City mayor. Abbott said because of President Biden's continued refusal to acknowledge the crisis caused by his open border policies, the state of Texas had to take the unprecedented action to keep our communities safe. In addition to Washington and New York City is the ideal destination for these migrants who can receive the abundance of city services and housing that Mayor Eric Adams has boasted about within the sanctuary city. I hope he follows through on his promise of welcoming all migrants with open arms so that our overrun and overwhelmed border towns can find relief. Governor also pointed to New York City's right to housing laws, which require the local government to provide, quote, emergency shelter for every unhoused person, end quote. Already, Adams has warned the mayor there that the homeless shelters in the city are being overloaded with migrants. That's right, before we even bust any there. Previous reporting by the Post confirmed the Department of Homeless Service Intake Center in the Bronx, as well as Bellevue Men's Shelter in Manhattan, have seen a growing number of illegal aliens arrive. And so, you know, he invited the mayors to come down and look at it. They didn't want to, so here they come. And this was kind of important here. He's a liar himself. I don't trust him at all, but FBI Director Christopher Wray has been, before Congress in a hearing. And, you know, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas does nothing but parrot the administration line. He thinks the southern border is secure. So Ray was questioned by Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee yesterday about the border being a national security threat. And the head of the FBI said, I think there are serious security issues represented at the border, a wide array of criminal threats that we're deeply concerned about at the FBI. And that transcends everything from gangs and violence. Ray visited the border recently, personally pressed by Senator Cornyn whether he thinks it's secure. And Ray said, there's a wide array of criminal threats we encounter down at the border, referencing transnational criminal organizations trafficking illegal drugs to street gangs for distribution. And he said it's there to exploit. And we know this. Everybody knows this. But, of course, the administration and the Democrats want to pretend that nothing really is happening. Good grief. We had 180,000 apprehensions along the southwest border in July alone. And the Democrats don't care. This is all about using these people for politics. And it is disgusting. And it's destroying our country for a lot of reasons. But what do we do about it? Play games? Play Fox News guest slot games? Or do we actually declare an emergency and start repelling people and not allowing them to cross at the border? That's an action Abbott could take that would be true to his claims of being concerned about it. Have a good weekend. Long live liberty. Long live Texas. And may God bless us all and send us rain, please, dear Lord. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.